that Spanair takeoff disaster followed an earlier aborted takeoff. Sturgill rallies his troops to celebrate the FAA's 50th, and the TSA encourages its agents to use avionics probes as ladder rungs. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, August 22, 2008. Spanair SA acknowledged on Thursday that the MD-82, involved in a takeoff crash at Madrid's Barajas International Airport, had undergone repairs after aborting a previous takeoff attempt. It's still unknown whether that squawk had anything to do with Wednesday's disaster, which killed 153 of the 172 people on board. Bloomberg quotes Javier Mendoza, head of operations for Spanair, in reporting the plane's flight crew noted an air intake fault, returned to the gate, and the problem was, quote, isolated before the second takeoff attempt. The airliner ran off the runway on takeoff for a two-hour flight to the Canary Islands, broke apart as it struck the ground and caught fire. Investigators are not ready to confirm witness reports that one engine was already on fire during the takeoff roll. Madrid's regional government says 19 people are being treated for burns at city hospitals, with four listed in serious condition. Spanair has been for sale by its owner, SAS. Researchers at Standard & Poor's now say Spanair will likely not survive an expected wave of lawsuits long enough for a buyer to be found. It's always shocking to read of an airline tragedy, but the fact is they don't happen very often. On Thursday, Robert Sturgill, acting administrator of the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, spoke to FAA employees to mark the 50th anniversary of the FAA's founding in 1958. He told them they deserve the credit for making aviation much safer today than it was 50 years ago. Quote, "The women and men of the FAA over the years have pulled together in one direction to create the safest transportation system in the history of the world. Through all of the changes and technological hurdles, you've made it so safe that when asked about the most common cause of an accident, we have to pause and say, today, there is none," unquote. You can read the unedited text of Sturgill's comments in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. If you were angered by yesterday's story about damage done to nine American Eagle regional jets by a TSA inspector trying to climb the fuselage using air temperature probes as ladder rungs, just hold on. ANN has learned that incident at O'Hare International was not this inspector's first time doing it. Fortunately, in Tuesday's incident in Chicago, maintenance crews discovered the damaged total air temperature probes before any of the planes took off. At least 40 flights were delayed. A flight crew member who wishes to remain anonymous for obvious reasons told us, quote, "After one of our ORD mechanics caught him doing this, he explained that he could damage the TAT sensor. The agent then admitted that he used the sensors many times in the past doing the same thing. Another aircraft did have a damaged number one TAT sensor that was discovered on the morning of the 16th at ORD that the mechanics suspect was caused by the same agent," unquote. An additional report has confirmed this account and adds that a delay created by that incident was actually reported to passengers on board the affected aircraft by the frustrated flight crew. A recent Transportation Security Administration memo appears unrepentant. Quote, "During the inspection, TSA's inspector was able to pull himself inside of an unattended aircraft by using a tube that was protruding from the side of the plane. TSA encourages its inspectors to look for and exploit vulnerabilities of this type," unquote. We're still hearing from industry sources and even TSA insiders about this mess. Stay tuned. Oil prices have fallen, but airlines can't afford to assume that trend will continue. That's the message Giovanni Bisignani, Director General and CEO of the International Air Transport Association, delivered recently to the Australian National Aviation Press Club. He notes several airlines worldwide have gone out of business this year, and he predicts more will stop operations before the global economy stabilizes. Quote, "We are in a perfect storm of uncontrollable fuel costs and falling demand. Airlines could lose as much as $6.1 billion this year. Already, some 25 airlines in our financial systems have gone bust, greater than immediately following 9/11, and we are bracing for more," unquote. Also, in his comments, reported by France's AFP News, Bisignani was critical of government efforts to improve airline security. Quote, As every traveler knows, the system remains an uncoordinated mess because governments are not thinking or acting globally, unquote. Finally, he called on governments to put aside nationalistic ownership restrictions. Quote, who cares who owns an airline, so long as it's safe and provides efficient service? It's time to move from the world of flags and politics to brands and business, unquote. Up next on ANN, Northwest's unions are hopping mad over an employee survey. United names a new VP of operations. And United's pilots want passengers to get their peanuts back. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 22, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. If the Delta-Northwest Airlines merger goes through as planned, it will require combining Delta's largely non-union workforce with Northwest's heavily unionized workforce, and that's a problem if you're one of the unions. Will a post-merger certification election bring in thousands of new union members from the Delta side? Or will the majority of the combined workforce vote no, shutting the union out at the new company? Pilots at both airlines are represented by the Airline Pilots Association, so there's no doubt that union is safe. But unions representing ground workers and flight attendants at Northwest showed Wednesday just how jumpy they are about the threat to their roles representing employees. The Minneapolis Star Tribune reports an employee survey was fielded this week by the two airlines, asking employees for their thoughts on the merger. Northwest spokesman Tammy Lee said company execs want to know what works, what doesn't, and, quote, what they would like to see the culture become, unquote. The unions at Northwest have pounced immediately, insisting that management has no business talking directly to employees. On its website, the leadership of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which represents 12,500 Northwest ground workers, called the survey management's, quote, latest divide-and-conquer scheme, unquote, and urged its members not to participate. Kevin Griffin, president of the Northwest Flight Attendants Union, told the paper Wednesday the airlines are circumventing the unions and complained that union leaders were not consulted to phrase the questions. He also warns flight attendants should not be filling in their employee identification numbers on the surveys. Now, we don't know what's in those union contracts, and it's very possible that any attempt to survey employees directly violates the agreements. But if you've ever been represented by a union, you also know that there are times when union leadership has its own agenda, which may or may not represent what members really think. One example is almost exclusive support for Democratic political candidates, including campaign donations made with members' dues. So, if you work for Northwest, what do? Do you believe the company really wants your opinion? Do you want your individual concerns to be heard? Are you willing to risk undercutting your union's position right before a merger? This may be a tougher question than it looks. We should have a rough idea about participation in a few days. The executive shuffle continues at United Airlines. On the heels of recent announcements of a new chief financial officer and VP of flight operations, on Wednesday, the Chicago-based airline announced that Donald Dillman has been named Vice President of Operations Control. Dillman came to United from American Airlines, where he spent 24 years in various leadership positions, most recently Managing Director for American's Operations Center. In his new post, Dillman will oversee United's Operations Control Center and have responsibility for decisions affecting more than 1,600 daily mainline flights. Dillman will assume his role September 8th, and will report to United's Senior VP of Operations, Joe Kolchak. He'll be based at United's Operations Center in suburban Chicago. In a statement issued on Wednesday, United Airlines pilots say they strongly oppose the airline's plans to drastically change its onboard meal service by raising prices for food and drink on most flights and discontinuing complimentary meals on many flights to and from Europe. Captain Steve Wallach, chairman of the United Chapter of the Airline Pilots Association, said, quote, rather than taking the fundamental steps necessary to put our airline back on course, such as rationalizing the flight schedule or eliminating excessive perks and bonuses for executives, United's leadership is penalizing the one constituency that is critical to our airline's success, its loyal passengers. Instead of nickel and diming our passengers, United Airlines management should be demonstrating that despite today's challenges, our passengers still come first, unquote. Wallach said of United's CEO, quote, Glenn Tilton and his executives can be counted upon to select the path that inflicts the most misery on our passengers. We condemn this latest price scheme and we call for its immediate rollback, unquote. Austrian ace Hans Arc won the Red Bull Air Race in Budapest on Wednesday, claiming his first ever victory in only his second season. The win leaves Arc, who has been a contender in other races this season, in second place in the Red Bull Air Race World Championship, with three more races to go. Arc explained what winning takes in the Red Bull series. Quote, you have to stay focused right until the very end, and now I am just really happy, unquote. Arc also had the fastest time of the day at 1 minute 3.34 seconds in the semifinals. Britain's Steve Jones and Paul Bonhomme took second and third place, respectively. 600,000 spectators lined the banks of the River Danube on Wednesday, a Hungarian national holiday, to watch the race under clear blue sunny skies. The next stop in the series is Porto, Portugal, on September 6th and 7th. Still ahead, Grobe Aerospace gets a welcome vote of confidence. Investigators say they found a crashed B-52 off Guam. And Kennedy Space Center should be back to normal operations today. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, August 22, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Grobe Aerospace, the German manufacturer which entered the German equivalent of what the U.S. calls Chapter 11 bankruptcy proceedings this week, has gotten some welcome support in its fight to remain in operation from one of its largest customers. New Hampshire-based fractional ownership program PlaneSense tells ANN it has decided to continue to support the Grobe SPN program. George A. Antoniadis, president and CEO of Alpha Flying Incorporated, the program manager for PlaneSense, says the program's order for 25 Grobe SPNs will stand. Quote, we believe that the Grobe SPN is the best large cabin light jet to fulfill the needs of the PlaneSense program participants. Its combination of large cabin size, fuel and operational efficiencies, and short field performance is unique. We look forward to hearing news of a prompt reorganization of Grobe Aerospace, unquote. Military investigators believe they've located the wreckage of a Barksdale B-52H bomber that crashed off the coast of Guam July 20th, killing all six crew members. The plane was being flown in commemoration of the liberation of Guam from Japanese forces in 1944. The Shreveport Times in Louisiana, citing a report in the Air Force Times, quotes anonymous sources within the Air Combat Command in reporting that investigators have identified a spot about 30 miles northwest of Guam where a debris field will be defined before a joint Air Force and Navy team recover parts from the aircraft for use in two separate crash investigations. Memorials for all six crew members have been held, despite the fact that only one has been positively identified. The Air Force says identification of the others is in process. As Tropical Storm Fay spun off the eastern coast of Florida, NASA's Kennedy Space Center reopened Thursday morning for mission essential personnel. Many employees, though, opted to wait out the storm's torrential rains. Kennedy had been closed since Tuesday. Plans called for the center to return to full operation today. Based on initial reports, there are no injuries and no damage to flight hardware or flooding associated with Fay at KSC. Only minor damage has been seen on a few facilities, including the vehicle assembly building, which lost one exterior panel from its east side. And finally, most airport watchers are there to see planes take off and land. But at Melbourne International Airport on Florida's Space Coast, the show has been much more unique this week. Aero News alumnus Pete Combs, who's now a reporter for WSB Radio in Atlanta, Georgia, tells ANN that so far, the 30 inches of rain from Tropical Storm Fay have washed at least two gopher tortoises, four walking catfish, an alligator, and a blue indigo snake onto the tarmac at Melbourne. Passengers on a departing Delta flight told WSB that watching the Keystone Cop routine to round up the critters was better than the in-flight movie. Hey, you know what? You really better be careful how you say that. Just remember, passengers on U.S. Airways don't get in-flight movies at all anymore. Let's not give Delta any ideas. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll wrap up a fascinating conversation with Carter Aviation Technologies' Jay Carter Jr., who thinks we may actually one day go to work the way George Jetson did. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.